thankful again for Brother Mike and just him coming in. They were in Texas, as he mentioned earlier, and one of the ministries that Brother Fisher has been blessed with is a ministry to the public schools across our nation, a ministry called Consider Character. And God has opened up a door for Brother Mike to go into public schools and to preach, really, many times to hundreds and surely thousands of kids over the years, teenagers. And he's been given liberty because he has talks on character, and then that gives an open door to invite them to youth rallies and activities that take place at the church that week. And God has used that greatly. And I'll mention more about it in prayer, in our prayer announcements, but we're going to be meeting with the Commerce High School principal on Tuesday, and for a meeting. Brother Mike and I will be going and meeting with him, so be praying for that. And then Thursday we'll be with the FCA group there at East Jackson, where Brad and both Brad and Abby are part of. Mike will be bringing the challenge there, and then we'll be meeting with the principal there for set up some times to be in some classes. So God is opening some doors. We just need to continue praying that the Lord would lead in that. And just thank God for how he's using that ministry. So, Brother Mike, you come tonight and preach what God's put on your heart, brother. Appreciate you. Love you.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to tell you, man, I've been having a great time here already in Georgia. It's different weather, man. I know you always say, man, it's hot, it's hot. That's not really true. It's not true. You do have a dry heat. There are different heats, and I never believed it until I actually stayed in one place more than 1 week, and you learned that there are some different heats out there. There are some different colds, too, but actually, I just think cold is cold. So that's kind of how I believe that. I did get in cold weather this year, so if you're an evangelist, if you feel like you're called to warm weather, you're probably an evangelist. I'm not saying that God's calls on your life, but there's probably a good indication. If you're a young man, you're probably an evangelist. If you're a lady and you like warm weather, you may be an evangelist's wife. I don't know that. I can't prove that from the scriptures, but I know I run down south whenever it gets winter up north. That's just part of the nature of the beast, I suppose. I do go up north. As a matter of fact, this year I was in Montana in February. In January, I was in Wisconsin. Why I did that, I don't know. And then I was also in Michigan just 2 weeks ago. I was in Michigan. I spent about a week, 10 days up there. So I do travel up north. I just don't take my family up there because I want to keep my wife. And it's cheaper to stay down south than to pay alimony, amen. So I like that. I'm fine with that. I don't mind. So I'm just kidding. My wife, talk about allergies earlier. Holy moly. My wife is her and allergies go together like dentist and needles, man. I'm telling you, it is just like that. She has allergies, and so once we came into Georgia, she was blessed once we came across the state line with allergies instantly. It was amazing how that happened. And I say that because there's times she has the voice of a bird. She really does when she sings. She sounds beautiful, and I don't know how much singing we're going to get out of her while she's here. She goes, honey, she says, my allergies. She said, I ain't singing. And I said, you will if I tell you to. That's not what I said. That is not what I said. I think she's still back there. Is my wife still back? Baby, you still back there, honey? She's gone. She left. She went downstairs. I imagine there's reason for that. And I take it Johnny's not back there any longer. Okay, amen. That's what it's all about. Hey, let me tell you this with my family. You get what you get and don't get upset, okay? You get what you get and don't get upset. That's what we tell our kids, and we are what we are. We got some craziness, don't we, baby doll? We got a little bit of craziness. There, she's back with him. And we got a little craziness, we got a little silliness, but I'm going to tell you what, we're trying to be consistent. So don't get bitter at us, don't get upset. We're trying the best we can to be parents on the road, okay? And we're doing okay with it. You're going to see some complications and some issues, and they're all my wife's fault, not mine. But apart from that, I just always consistent. I asked Pastor if I could say this before I started the message tonight, and it's this. I run a camp out in Montana. I do that every summer. And it works for 3 weeks. If you go from July 5th till the 7th is our training week, half a training week, and then we go all the way until the 27th. So we invite you to come out. If you say, I want to work at camp, man, we pay you $1 million out there. You don't get it till you get the glory, but you'll get $1 million in glory. I guarantee that, a couple crowns. But if you say, man, I don't know if I can handle camp. I don't know if I can do it. You're out there with me. We'll have a great time. We do whitewater rafting, and we do paintball and other things. We got this new paintball competition where it's with bow and arrows. You see that yet? You dip that bow and I'm honest, man. Bow and arrows are only 16 pounders, so you still put the face mask on, but they got like a big marshmallow on the end of it. You dip that marshmallow in paint and you whack each other with it. It's awesome, man. It is an awesome time. But we got whitewater rafting. Some of the best trout fishing you ever have is right there in the West Gallatin. And we got hiking and everything else, dodgeball. We got a facility out there that's really nice. It's a beautiful facility. Well, it was nice 42 years ago. It's a little rundown, but we love it anyway, and it's a good time. We have a good time up in the mountains. One other thing is this. You can take pictures with your phone, but I'll tell you this. It just don't work at our camp, man. You got to go 10 minutes up the road to get any type of service. We got something called a landline. I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about when I say that. It actually, you pick it up, it rings, it's connected to your house right there, and the lines come in from the pole. Teenagers, you know what I'm saying? It's like a cassette tape. Cassette tapes are like this big, and they're not like big VCR. Well, a VCR tape's not like a, you know what I'm saying, it's just a little, okay. Anyway, you know what I'm saying. Someday, if you are interested at camp, even if you're named Cody, and you're not doing anything this summer and you're about to graduate, I'd love to talk to you. Cody, I wouldn't want to point anybody out, but Cody, if you're not doing anything, I'd love to talk to you. And your parents already said, go ahead and talk to him, see what he can do, see if he's spiritual or not. That's what they wanted to say. So I said, all right, amen. So anyway, we invite you out, okay? If you're a teenager, you can come out there for a week of camp. We'll pay for your camp. We don't pay for your way out there, but we pay for your week of camp. And then you just work with me the rest of the time and the next 2 weeks. We also have a four-wheeler camp, all those other things. Anyway, we know that you have your things that you do. I don't want to interfere with that, nor do I want to take you away from that. If your church goes somewhere else, you go somewhere else. You don't come with me at all because I won't take you. You'll be with him, all right? Anyway, you have a great opportunity. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I want to give you an opportunity tonight. This is the message that embarrasses pastor more than anything. You say, what are you going to talk about? Well, I'm just going to talk about how to treat a pastor. Isn't that nice? How to treat a pastor. It's the message that the pastor can't preach. It's the message the pastor can't preach. Let me say this. We don't talk about this stuff ahead of time, okay? All I did is I said this. Hey, brother, I just want you to know, here's the message I'm going to preach tonight. He says, just use your discretion, please. He's very cautious. He's very cautious. I'm not going to get him in trouble, I promise you. I just want you to understand the man of God. There's a great dearth now, isn't there, in respect toward authority? I don't know if you see this, but I see this all the time. The great dearth, how about this? How about if you're a boss here today, isn't there a great dearth toward being a boss? The respect towards you? It happens all the time, doesn't it? I have a boss. I used to take college-age kids with me. And I'm going to tell you what, it was a battle. You had to oversee and had to overlook a lot of things. You're like, well, they're just young. And you can only say that so long, but they're just young. And then they get older and then they talk in the break room about you. But I'm just telling you this, is that the fact is, being a boss is hard. It's real hard. Being a dad, a mom, is hard. With authority, not just the rolling of the eyes, but everything, society. I remember in the 80s, Malcolm in the Middle came out. Malcolm in the Middle is an old program with a kid that makes the dad look like a moron. I mean, look like a foolish guy, and the mom is, I don't know what the mom does, but they just make the dad look like an idiot. Really, the authority of the home, they make him look like an idiot. And that happens all the time, friends. There's a great dearth. How about this? How about police officers? Oh, man, we don't like them until they're rescuing us or something like that. It's like, and the firemen, I feel better for the firemen because, they're putting themselves in harm's way all the time. But some of your firemen, you understand what it is, volunteer or not. But you see, man, at least it's a little bit better to be a fireman. At least they like you. You know, they bring their kids to your station to check out the fire engine. And nobody goes to the police station too often unless you're homeschooling looking for a credit. Amen. That happens. We've done it. Amen. That's a field trip. That's half a day of school, if not a full day. You put lunch in there, that's a full day of school. You did it too. All I'm saying is this, as a policeman, I'd hate to be a man in blue. I'm not telling you I don't respect what they do. I'm telling you, I hate to be a man in blue. Friends, there's a great dearth in respect, and it's just not coming from one race, creed, or color. I'm telling you this, there's a great dearth in respect across the board. How about the president? Oh man, look how mean they're being to President Trump. How about that? It's almost as mean as we were to Obama, isn't it? Isn't that funny? Ouchie. Ouchie, ouchie. I understand, but listen, I don't want to be the president of the United States. You say, why? Because they look a ton older when they come out of office, don't they? Holy gray hairs, where'd they come from? You see what I mean? I'm just telling you. You look at Obama 8 years out of there, man, he looked a lot older than when he went in. Now, Trump's old going in. I'm just going to be honest with you. He's going to look old coming out. But in light of that, you say you for him? I'm for him when he's for my stuff. And I don't know today if he's for my stuff or not. I just know I'm for him when he's for my stuff. And yes, he's my president and I pray for him. All I want to do is tell you this, is there's a great dearth when it comes to respect for authority. We see it and we know it, and it seems to be ingrained at times in people. 1 Thessalonians we're going to use as a kickoff point, chapter 5 in 12 and 13. Can we use that? it really talks about those that are in authority over us. If I could paint it this way, it almost paints the picture of a pastor. It's that close. I know it's talking about some spiritual authorities as well as physical authorities, but it does paint that picture. I have been in so many places where the authority of the pastor is not respected. And you say, no. I say, yes. Some of you, it doesn't even come to your mind. Let me say this, too, to try to help you out in understanding the church. This is not a business. This is a church. Pastor is not a CEO. It is not we got some board that says we had to do it this way, this way, and this way. And listen, I'm not trying to indict anybody, and I'm not trying to say pastor and I talk. I'm just saying it's not this way, this way, and this way. Really, the final authority at the end of the day, if pastor says, hey, I believe God wants us to do this, you know what we ought to do? Say, okay, preacher, this is why. Because he's going to stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ for each individual member in here. I don't know any CEO that's ever going to stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ for anybody that's under them. The Bible never says that. But a pastor will stand individually. You know why? That's why some churches take a pretty hard stand in some areas. That's why sometimes a pastor is a little bit more authoritative than he should be at times. Or that's sometimes where they take a standard of which may not always be your standard, and they take it just a little bit further to protect the people that they're going to be accountable for at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. Do you know if you're a parent, you're going to be accountable for your kids as well? Dads, you're going to be accountable for your kids and your family. Those are the only two people I'm going to stand that are going to have great accountability at the judgment seat are those that are pastors and those that are parents. Those are the two positions. Now, you may not have realized that, but maybe it helps us understand sometimes why there's a bold stand taken. Why do we define? We only use the King James. Why do we do that? Because we're trying to protect based upon things that are understood and that are known. I'm not a pastor. I'm an evangelist, so I got it a piece of cake. I'm on perpetual vacation, baby. That's not true. If you lived in my shoes for a little while, you'd see that's not true at all. I work early in the morning till late at night. My wife will tell you, I don't close my eyes till about 1:32 in the morning trying to get everything finished for that day. You say, what time do you wake up? Well, I don't wake up till 9 o'clock, so I guess it's okay, right? Amen. My kids get me up a little bit earlier than that, so that's not completely true neither. Friends, I will say this. I just want you to understand a few things and we'll be all done, okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 talks about this and addresses the need of the pastor. Need really, as a kickoff point, I understand expressly or implicitly it's not talking about that. But it says this in verse 12. It says, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord. Now that could give reference. And admonish you. Well, that definitely gives reference, doesn't it? And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake and be at peace among yourselves. Now, I understand preacher hasn't been here 50 years. I understand that. He'd been here 10 years. I get that. But I think at the onset, it helps us understand a few different things. I'm not preaching this because he's my friend. I'm preaching this because he's the man of God. It's something that I haven't only preached here, but I preach across the country. It's something that I've seen, and it's just a hot button. It's a need. You say, have you seen it here? No, friends, really, I haven't. I've only been here a short time. Maybe I'll see it by the end of the week. I don't know. But I surely don't see it now. So I'm not pointing out something I've already seen here, but something I've seen somewhere else. So it says, first of all, to know him. It says this, and we beseech you, brethren, that you may know them, or know them that labor among you. Can I say this? Know him. Know your pastor. Here's a couple things that you may not realize that pastor goes through. How about this one right off the bat? And sometimes here, this is packed house on Sunday night. Preacher, this is great stuff. This is good. I mean, it's packed house on Sunday night. I think this is great. We got a little bit of front row up here, but we're Baptist, so I understand front row's not always filled. Praise the Lord for you teenagers making the example of these parents out there. I understand that. But I'll tell you this, they're front row. You just get your convicted and be there on Wednesday. But what I'm saying is this, is that many times, watch this, we're to know him. Do you know this, what happens on sometimes that the pastor carries the weight more than anybody else in here is declining church growth. I don't think you have that problem here. But you know what somebody leaves, you know whose shoulders it lays on is on preachers. You know why? Because many times they've dealt with that person, they've dealt with those people, they've dealt with that family, they've dealt with that large family, small family, numerous times. They're the ones that have sat with them, or the person just is gone. Friends, I'm telling you, it deals with him. You know, I would say this, is that I remember even at my home church, we had some families leave. And one of the dear people of the church came up to my pastor. My pastor's a sweet man. Our church is not this large. It's probably about 150 people, a little bit less than that. On a good day, we're going to push about two. But we're much less than what's in this auditorium. Do you know this, is that while whilst people were walking out the door, people came to my pastor, one of the older saints, one of the honorary saints, I'd say it that way. Not all older or honorary, but he was old and honorary, okay? I think we understand what I'm saying. We're being very practical. Came to my pastor and said this, what are you going to do? Like it was his fault or something. What are you going to do? You know, I've had people leave a church and say this, man, pastor, don't feed me. This church doesn't feed me no more. Do you know this, friends? Watch this. It's not the church's responsibility to feed you. No. Everything you get here is bonus. This is all bonus. See, it's our responsibility to pick our devotions and feed ourselves. Everything we get here is to equip us for the ministry, for the perfecting, the edifying of the saints. That's what the job of the preacher is, and he does above and beyond. You'll see that even throughout this time. You'll look at your pastor and say, well, he does a little bit more than he's even supposed to. How about this? How about not only declining church growth, but how about losing the support of a friend? I know this. I know that pastor, in the time that he's been out here in the ministry, and maybe not here, but other ministries, maybe even coming here, maybe in some of the stands that he's taken, not so much the church members here, but people that are outside, maybe he went to college with, you know that there's people that he's lost support from? I mean, we could say the same thing on a family level, couldn't we? Some of us lost the support of our family because of the position we take. Some of us lost friends because we don't go to the bars no more. They're gone. Some of us lost workmates because we don't do that no more. Well, pastor gets that too. Friends, I understand. How about this? Grieving to a fault. Do you know there's people that may have left here, may not have left here. There's people that have come into his life and there's situations in the church that nobody knows about but him and the people that are going through it. He can't tell it to anybody else. You know, there's a situation going on in the church. He can't even tell his wife. You say, how do you know that? Has he told you things? No, if he's any type of pastor, I know what's going on, man. I just know it. Friends, you know, he probably grieves to a fault on those things. To the point where it actually hinders him at times. This is why, because we come back to the very beginning where he's responsible for each of those people at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. Again, I'm not trying to embarrass pastor. I'm just telling you things he goes through. How about this? Sensing that a sermon went nowhere. You know what we call that in the preaching world? Preaching an egg. I'm sure we'd never say preacher preached an egg, but it's coming. If he ain't preached it yet, man, it's coming. Okay, he got an egg. And he walks to the back, and I love dear little old ladies for this one, man. I love you, dear little old ladies. I love when they come back and they say, oh, that was such a good message, when you know it wasn't, and I know it wasn't. We know it was an egg, man. You got something out of it because something from your past. I don't know. But I'll tell you this, sometimes some of the most encouraging things you can do when preacher preaches an egg is say, hey, you know what? Preacher, I appreciate this one point out of it. Pick something good out of it. You've got to be able to find something good out of it. I liked how you used the word the, preacher. That was beautiful. Do you practice that? I'm telling you, sometimes it's hard. You got to realize now, a pastor is preparing messages that you're expecting to bless your heart Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Above and beyond that, you got to do Sunday school sometimes. If somebody calls off, you got to fill in space for them. If somebody else doesn't want to fill in space, and all the other extra things on top of that, all the counseling sessions and all that, friends, I'm telling you, there's a lot of preparation that goes into just one message depending upon the person. But friends, watch this. Sometimes he's going to preach an egg. Friends, sometimes it happens. How about this? Losing vision. You know, we've heard it, where there's no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. We understand this. Did you know that he has to have vision for each individual person in here? Yes, we got to have vision for ourselves. Don't get me wrong, but sometimes people look to the pastor and say, pastor, what can I do? You want to know why sometimes he may not in the future, and I want you to tuck this in your hip pocket. Sometime in the future, you're going to come to him with an idea, and here's what he's going to say, make it happen. This is why, because there's been people that have already come to him and said this, I got an idea, they start it, and what happens is this, or he helped start it, and then he's left holding the bag. And now he has all these ministries, and he has to say, well, man, what am I going to do now? And friends, all I need you to see is it's losing vision. It's difficult sometimes. We get tired, you get weak, because let's face it, we're all human. We know what it's like. And let me say this and stop for a second. I'm not diminishing anything that anybody does in here. And I'm not saying one position is above another. That's not what I'm saying. I just need you to understand what a pastor and a man of God goes through. Now, you too are a man of God, even if you're a Pepsi driver, okay? I only say that because my father-in-law was a Pepsi driver. And it just helps me to pick on him when he's not here. I love him. Anyway, in light of all those other things, how about this? How about being lonely? You ever think preacher gets lonely? Let me ask you ever get lonely? You ever get lonely for just no reason at all? It usually comes after you preach an egg, you get lonely. You know what I mean? Preach an egg, you're lonely. You're like, man, does anybody like me anymore? Or one of those situations where somebody leaves and you get lonely. I'm going to tell you, it's amazing how the devil gets in at times, even in our life as we're traveling on the road. But when you're surrounded by so many people, you ever been there? You're surrounded by so many people and you're just lonely. You're like, does anybody get it? It's like, I understand that people get it, but man, is it just me? Am I? Friends, see what I'm saying? Getting lonely. How about this? How about remembering our failures? Or let me say it this way, because I'm not a member here. Remembering your failures, okay, to make it personal. Do you know that he's been there in the counseling situations, even in the short time he's been here? I have no doubt that he's been involved in families in here in counseling situations, and he knows. In the future, you watch this, the more he's here, he's going to be involved in different situations. There's going to be a marital issue where he comes, and then he comes, and somehow your family's rescued by the Word of God, and he uses pastor as a tool. Friends, it's going to happen. It happens in churches all the time. Maybe there's going to be another situation where there's an issue where you're going through great depression, or maybe there's a chemical things, or maybe there's some mental stuff. Friends, I'm telling you, there's times where pastor comes in and he's such a help, but watch this. He still has to come to us at the end of the week and at the end of Sunday and say this, hey, God can still use you. Even though, listen, I was with a deacon one time. He came forward for pornography. I watched a pastor come up and throw his arm around him and say this, God wants to use you, brother. God, we're going to get through this together. God wants to use you, and believe it. Friends, I dealt with a kid one time. He was involved in Levitical sins. I'm talking stuff that you'd think, what in the world? People actually do this? I mean, this isn't Old Testament. This is real. People actually do that? You know what I had to say to him at the end of our counseling session? With almost fear and trepidation, I had to say this, listen, God still wants to use you, son. But I'll have you know this, he's being used of God today in a mighty way. A mighty way he's being used of God. Friends, I say all that to say this. A man, a simple man, has to look past our complex failures. And he still, at the end of it, has to say, God still wants to use you. Now, again, I'm not diminishing any position that we go through. I'm not diminishing any Fortune 500 company people. I'm not diminishing any of that. I'm just telling you what the pastor goes through. You got to know him. How about this? Dealing with reoccurring death. When the casket is closed, pastor's standing right there. When the casket is open, pastor's standing right there. All the counseling along the way, it's pastor that has to throw his arm around the child, has to throw his arm around the adult, has to throw it around the now widow or the widowee situation. It's pastor that's there. That has to take every single death. I was with a pastor one time. As a matter of fact, I was out west, and this pastor, it seems like he had death after death after death. Just a lot of elderly people in the church. Young people as well were passing away. I just watched the funeral for a young girl. I'm going to tell you, I was just telling the teens, I was sitting in a hospital room because after all, I'm the preacher. You got to go. Even the evangelist, the traveling evangelist, you got to go. You got to do these things. You got to give the spiritual encouragement. When you look at the situation, you go, oh God, I don't think I can handle that. She's 24 years old, Tiffany Halverson. I got the call and they said this, Tiffany just came down with stage 4 cancer at 24 years old. I said, oh my soul, I don't think I can handle this. I've been with Tiffany in camp. I've known her for about 9, maybe 10 years. And I remember I walked into the hospital room at Billings, Montana. I was just on a camp trip. I had some meetings up there dealing with this camp and just talking to some people. And I was just had an opportunity. She was bussed there the night before. I had an opportunity to go in and see her. I saw her. The hoses are hooked up. She looked like she was in good spirits. She couldn't even tell, apart from the hoses, that she had cancer. I leaned over and said, Tiffany, in the very least, I'm telling you, God wants to do something amazing through this. Does he want to heal you? I don't know, but either way, you win, sister. I said, we're the only ones that lose on this. You're the only one that wins. Well, I'll tell you this, 3 or 4 days after I left there, Tiffany's home with the Lord. What do you do with that stuff? That's been happening back to back to back in pastors' lives, and it'll happen through his tenure here. You'll see that, friends, and I know this. It'll happen in you, but you got to understand he's the one there from start to finish, especially if it's not your family. Friends, how about this? How about facing personal jealousy? Nah, preachers aren't allowed to get jealous. Yeah, neither are we allowed to get angry, buddy, but it happens, doesn't it? You know what's difficult sometimes is when you hear about one of your buddies from college and you see God blessing their ministry and they'd say something like this, just to call you on the phone to be an encouragement to you.
Hey, we just baptized about 15 people this month. Just wanted you to know, preacher, God's on the move here. Hey, how's everything going over there at the creek? Think that ever happens? I think so. And listen, people are genuinely excited. It's not like they're being braggadocious. They're saying, hey, God's doing this. And then you'll say to yourself stuff like this. God, am I doing something wrong here? Is this? Now, friends, I don't know who's been baptized or who hasn't, but I need you to see what I'm talking about here, is that sometimes it's hard to compare yourselves among yourselves, or can I say it this way? It's hard not to compare yourselves among yourselves one time, especially when it's preachers and you know you serve the same God, you're doing the same thing up there every Sunday. Friends, how about this? How about balancing family and ministry time? You know what your pastor said to me? He says, man, I said, I love this house. Like I said this morning, you're moving on up, man, like the Jeffersons. I said, this beautiful house. This is gorgeous. You know what he said to me? He said, I kind of been just sleeping here lately. He said, we're so busy. You know what that shows me? He needs some more family time. And he knows it. Needs some more family time. He knows it. I'm just telling you this. That happens all the time. You know what that's called? The life of the pastor. Just like you, businessman, in the same thing. Look at all these employees he has underneath him. You put all your employees together and you start getting opinions, and I'm going to tell you what you turn up with. It's a big mess some days, isn't it? So are we a big mess some days, too? But you need to see this. Everybody's pulling and vying for time. And that's what Pastor wants. That's what he signed up for, friends. That's what he signed up for. But you need to see it. It's hard to balance sometimes. I've been with pastors where the kids get so bitter because dad was never there, never there. Now, your pastor's not like that. He incorporates his kids in the ministry. I know his philosophy. I know his heart. We're friends. So I'm kind of speaking from an outsider perspective to another man's ministry, not to this ministry. So, friends, in light of those things, you got to see that it is difficult sometimes. It's easy to be a pastor's kid, isn't it? Living in a glass house all the time. Isn't that a beautiful thing? It's a piece of cake. It's easier to be a deacon's kid, amen? You'll be any kid, be a deacon, be an evangelist kid. We're superstars when we walk into town. Got a big S on our chest. But pastor's kids aren't that way all the time. They got to be the pinnacle, the best of what they are. You know what they are? They're kids. Can you remember that, please? They ain't going to be perfect. Because let's face it, there ain't no perfect kid out there. Except for Cody right here in the front, because he's going to help me at camp. He's going to help me at camp. He's a perfect kid. Brad, we're praying about him. You, son, you're out, buddy. You are gone. I'm just kidding. I appreciate your teenagers. They help run your church. I'm going to be honest with you. Family ministry. You know, my pastor, I remember my pastor. Remember Chris, you remember Johnny last year? Hitting the head. I told you that story. My son, it was my watch, just in case you don't know. My daughter was hitting with a hammer. She was clawed down, hitting with a hammer, just digging in the dirt. Well, she came up, and Johnny, my little three-year-old at that time, come up behind her, and bam, man, get hit right in the head. Busted his head open. You can see a scar. Well, as I said, even last year, I didn't know what happened. Nothing happened instantly. There was nothing bad that happened. He got a little bit of swelling, but it was no big deal. That happens with any type of wound. So he got a little bit of swelling. You know what happened, friends? Is 7 days later, he had to go to the emergency room. The only reason he went to the emergency room is because even maybe if you remember correctly, my neighboring lady, one of the deacon's wife, came in and said, he needs to go to the emergency room and get a CAT scan. I said, he does not. He does not. I said, take him to urgent care. Took him down to urgent care. Urgent care didn't even touch the boy. Said this, you take him immediately to the emergency room, get him a CAT scan. And Pastor and I immediately almost got online. And I started looking at flights last year to come home. You may not realize that, but I was looking at flights. I was ready to head home because I was thinking the worst case scenario, cracked skull, fractures, things like that. But I remember this. I called my pastor just on a whim. I knew that he had to get on a plane at 7 a.m. the next morning. I said, preacher, can I talk to you for a second? He said, this is funny, Mike. He says, I'm usually in bed. I said, I know. You're like an old man. You're always sleeping, man. He's been a friend of mine for years. I said, hey, listen. I said, my family's at the emergency room right now. He goes, oh, what happened? I said, Johnny hit in the head. I says, yeah, I remember. I saw that wound. I said, but listen, he's down at the emergency room. I said, they think there may be some mental thing now. I said, he may have gotten hurt. He said, he may have jarred his brain. I said, can you please just pray? He says, what do you mean, just pray? He says, you need me to go down there? I said, no, preacher. I said, you're leaving tomorrow. He says, no, listen, I'm going down there. My preacher at 11 o'clock at night, he got down there about 45 minutes later, so it's breaching on 12 midnight. He sat there till 2 a.m. in the morning. I knew he had to get on a flight the next day. I'm going to tell you this, your pastor does the same thing. Same thing. It's hard to balance family ministry. I know preachers that have dealt with people for families for months and months while their family sits out in the car. They're in there dealing with a situation, saying, sweetheart, just take the kids home. No, there's going to be no movie tonight. No popcorn. Just put them to bed. And he deals with that situation day in and day out, and the people still leave the church. I've seen that numerous times, friends. You just need to know what he goes through. As a CEO, you can just write him off and pay his own employment. But as a pastor, you can't do that. There's so much that goes behind it, so much emotional content and so much responsibility. Dealing with suicide on Thanksgiving Day, I was with a pastor that had to deal with that on Thanksgiving Day. The guy ended up never doing anything, never taking his own life. But I will tell you this, as he dealt with it right there on Thanksgiving Day. Man, I could just tell you story after story. Some of them will indict people, so I won't do that. Not in here, but I mean other people, so I won't go into all the stories at all. I just hide them for myself, I suppose. How about this, responding to criticism? How many times in our heart has it actually come out in a criticizing manner? I'm sure sometimes that happens. Sometimes we get a little critical at times because, let's be honest, as much as we'd say, I don't judge people, we judge each other all the time. All the time. You judge me when I get to the pulpit and I judge you when I sit here. By the way, let me say this, I see everything that goes on up here. I'm not going to point anybody out, but I saw some nose picking today, and I'm not going to point anybody out. I wouldn't point it, and I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to look at the camera right now. You think I'm kidding? Anyway, let me try to help you out here. I remember there was a pastor. He's over a large church now. At that time, it wasn't as large of a church. It was a couple hundred people, but he's over a much larger church now. He came to my wife was with his wife and said this, tell me some of the difficulties, because you always want to hear the difficulties. I don't know why it is, but you always want to hear the difficulties. What'd you go through? Well, she went to her and she said, listen, we had a couple friends in the ministry. I'm talking about good friends. By the way, can you never get upset? Don't get upset with pastor if there's one or a couple families he gravitates to in the church. He needs a friend too. That's okay. If he hangs out with the Swaffers a little bit more, you know, I'm just naming people. Don't get me wrong, you know. I mean, I know he'd never hang out with Brother Jeff, but if he does ever hang out with Brother Jeff, hey, listen, don't get upset about that stuff. Love that stuff. Love that your pastor's a normal person. You know what they tell you in Bible college is this. You hear this one too, preacher. Don't you get close to your people. You know how dumb that sounds? You know how impossible that is? You want to know why? Because you're great people. Easy to get to know you guys. You're open. You're easy to get to know. Friends, watch this now. He got close to this family, and this wife said to her, says, we were so close to this family for about 2 years, man. We'd go bowling together, and we'd watch a Christian film, nothing Hollywood, you know, just Christian films, and all these different things. And she said one day they called us up and said they wanted to meet us at the restaurant, just a restaurant we always went to. Said once they walked in, they pulled out, once they sat down at the table, all four of them, they poured out two sheets full of discrepancies they had and what they needed to change in that church. It's like they just lost everything. He said this, or she said, he said, my wife wept the whole way home. Said, and then she said this, she said, well, what'd you do, preacher? He said, I just put myself back out there to do it all over again. He says, that's what I'm here for. Sometimes to be used, sometimes to be loved, he says, but always to minister. Friends, it's a great truth, but I just need you to see what they go through, not diminishing anything else. All right, very simply, all you need to see is you got to know him. But secondly, watch this, not only know him, but it says to esteem him. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and to admonish you, which is very difficult at times, and to esteem them very highly in love for the work's sake. Esteem them has the same idea as to honor. Honor thy father and mother has the same thing. Do you know if Mike Tyson walked in that back door, I'm going to tell you one thing I'm not going to do is respect him. That ear-biting fool. He cost me a lot of money on that fight. Not because I bet on that fight, because I got it on pay-per-view. I was like, what a waste of time, man. Tyson always cost me money on the pay-per-view fights. You pay all that money for the pay-per-view, you watch Tyson fight, and he's done like 30 seconds, and now he's biting an ear. It was monumental, but you're like, why, don't even fight Holyfield. He's way more better shape than you are. Some of you are forgetting, but I'm still bitter about it. All I'm saying is this, if he walked in that back door, I'll tell you what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to go up and slap him on one side of the face. You say, why? He was one of the hardest hitters in boxing ever, and I still think today he could still do some good damage. You say, why wouldn't you do that? Because he'd rearrange my life forever. in one punch. He'd change my life. As tough as I'd like to think I am at times, I ain't nothing against Mike Tyson. But I'll tell you this, friends, I'll honor him. You say, what's that mean, to hold with great weight? How much more could you honor somebody that you've voted in over top you? That's in God's place. Oh, we can honor that. To hold with great weight, even though we don't understand. And even as resemblance to a parent, you know this. Teenagers, listen, and young people, listen. Your parents aren't perfect. I know I hate to be the one to tell you this. And you know what? If they're adults, here's the key. Parents are teenagers in big people bodies. Grandparents are like kids again, man. They're like kids again. They're like your best friend, man. Grandparents are awesome. Parents are like trying to figure this stuff out. You say, how do you know? Because I is one, friends. I is a parent. And it's difficult at times. And I don't know how to do this. It's the first time I've ever done this. I try to be consistent. I try to do right. But all I'm saying is you are to encourage them. You're to honor them. Do you know this? You can't compliment a pastor too much. Do you know you can't compliment each other too much? It's all right to be nice to each other, make it appropriate. But I'm telling you, it's okay to compliment each other. How about this now? To esteem them very highly. Why? For the work's sake. To love them for their work's sake. Watch this now. The qualifications of a pastor. Titus 1:5-9. For this cause left I there in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders. Those are pastors in every city, as I appointed thee. If any man or any be blameless. That's a pretty big broad brush right there. If any man be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, not striker, not filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, and temperate. Man, be able to run his house well. Do you know the CEO of a Fortune 500 company, if his daughter walks away with somebody she met on the internet, he's just fine. He ain't going to lose his job. But you know, if a pastor's daughter does that, she's at home, I'm going to tell you this, I believe wholly and fully, he's done. Everything he's put all that time in for, it's gone. Now, there's a lot of things that he can still do, mind you, but I will tell you this. Once it hits deacon and once it hits pastor, he's done. You say, but doesn't God forgive? It's not about forgiveness. It's about qualification. Yes, God forgives instantly, but it means that he's no longer qualified for that position. That's difficult, isn't it? But we love him. Yeah. Yeah, I understand. How about this? Remember, Hebrews 13:7-17, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Watch this now, Hebrews 13:17. Obey them which have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account. Where? Who they give an account to? They're given a cart before God, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. They will give an account someday for us, for those that are under them. My pastor for me and your pastor for you. Here's the last part. Not only this, to love them, to esteem them, not only to know them, but lastly, to strive for peace. Verse 13 says it very simply, to be at peace among yourselves. And I will say this, this is a good principle to have all the time. You say, what's it mean? To follow peace with all men. As Hebrews 12:14 says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. How about this? Never talk behind a pastor's back. Always communicate with him. Whenever you talk behind somebody's back, it turns into a coup, doesn't it? Here's what a coup is, and I mean this to be very gracious. A coup is a bunch of morons getting together and talking about something. That's what a coup is. And what happens is you never want to do that. You never want to get a coup together. You know what Korah was? Korah was a coup that was 250 people behind the man of God's back. And God was so serious about it. Obviously, Israel's not the church and the church is not Israel. But God was so serious about it that he opened up the earth and he swallowed them. I think it's serious that God really wants to get his agenda across. I really think it's serious how God puts people in certain positions. Do you know this? Above and beyond that, remember Miriam? Miriam and Aaron came and they challenged Moses and said, you know, we could do this better. And maybe they could have done it better. Maybe they could have. That wasn't the point. The point was they challenged the man of God. You say, I can't talk. No. Listen, how they did it was they challenged him and they tried to turn the people against him. That is always incorrect. It's always called discord among the brethren. Whether it's toward the pastor, the Sunday school teacher, the deacons, we ought never to do that. There's biblical principle and there's biblical rights that we got to walk through, or biblical steps that we got to walk through in order to bring this before the church. It never happens with a group of people outside. It's usually deacons. Listen, it's deacons. It's usually people come to you first because they're a little concerned with what the pastor's doing. Friends, I can tell you story after story. I remember even in a church, I was in a church one time and I warned the pastor. I said, preacher, I said, listen, I haven't been here forever. I said, but this guy right over here, I think he's leading the coup. I said, I think he is in the front line of the coup. I said, all these guys seem to gravitate toward him at the end of the service. And I said, all of them seem to call him throughout the week. I said, I think he's leading the coup. The problem was it was his brother, preacher's brother. You know what happened? All those families left and his brother walked out the door too. Friends, all I'm saying is this. Preacher's a big boy. You can come and talk to him. You ought to do that with principals, with each other too. Don't talk about people. Just go talk to him. You say, do you know anything? I don't know anything, friends. I don't know anything that's going on. I'm just telling you, it happens because we're human. You say, have you ever talked about a pastor? Yes. I talk behind your pastor's back all the time. It's not true. It's not true. I will tell you this. I've made a principle that even if I say something about a man of God behind his back, I call him up on the phone and say this. Hey, listen, I want you to know I was talking with so-and-so the other day. I mentioned this. I just need you to know. I remember we were talking about old Dennis Clemens. We were talking about Dennis Clemens, our friend. Well, he has these big old glasses. They're big old thick glasses. They really are. And I said, Pastor Brenson and I said, we were talking. He's working on getting a different ministry at this time. And I said, we were talking about this. And I said, we told each other, we kind of came to the conclusion that you'll do a great job for that church up there as long as you don't lose your glasses. So I called him back on the phone. We got to talking about that. And I said, I had to tell you this, preacher. That's what we were talking about. I was wanting to know we weren't taking a slap at you. He goes, no, isn't that true? I lose my glasses. It's bad news. Friends, don't talk about people. Please don't talk about the man of God. I'm saying that for your own protection. I'm saying that across the board. Now watch this now. You can find anybody to agree with you. I was in a church, and maybe you can enlighten me on this, and I hope I'm not speaking out of bounds here, but I was in a church, and about where Kendra is right there, I remember this. I was preaching on Sunday morning, and I said something like this. Hey, listen, God wants to challenge your thinking. We open the Word of God, and God challenges wrong thinking. I said, man, God challenges some crazy things in the Scripture. I said, you know there's people out there that believe the earth is flat? Right about where Kendra was, there was a man. I'm not kidding. Pastor came up to me afterwards, and he said this. Well, you're going to get in trouble. I said, preacher, I was so gracious this morning. I didn't say anything wrong. I didn't think. He says, you just said that the earth wasn't flat. I said, well, it's not flat. He says, well, I know that. I said, well, why am I going to get in trouble? He says, well, that guy right over there in the corner, he says he believes that the earth is flat. I said, does he know Jesus? He said, no, he's a saved man. He just thinks he can find it in the Scriptures. And I said, well, man, he's never been to space. Well, he says he believes that's made up. There's people that believe that. There's whole groups of people that believe the dinosaurs were made up and everything. I don't know if you realize this, but there's some weird folks out there. And if you're one of them, I mean that you're weird in a nice way. I really mean that. All I'm saying is you can always find somebody to agree with you. And we're almost done, I promise you. Adolf Hitler said this, if you tell a lie, tell a big enough lie and tell it frequently enough, it will be believed. And friends, that's the truth. Now watch this. Division is sown in the church. When? When the misinformed tells the uninformed their issues. Let me say that again. Division is sown in the church. When the misinformed tells the uninformed their issues, then drama enters and division is sown. I don't know of anything going on in this church at all. But I know our great responsibility toward a pastor. And let me say this. If you are a Christian and not a member of a good local church, I do believe this. I think you ought seriously consider what God says about the local church and being a member. I think you'll come to the same conclusion I do, and it's this. It's God's divine authority that only gets forth His will is the local church. It's God's divine authority to propagate the gospel and propagate His will on this earth. What was that? Maybe you didn't see it, but I saw it. All I'm saying is this. Do you love the man of God? I do. I do. There's sometimes when we disagree and we don't know each other, and we don't agree with each other all the time. But I'll tell you this, I still always, always go on the man of God's point. I remember my aunt and uncle. My aunt and uncle had left the church. I remember a great church Pastor Brenson and I were both part of. I remember they left the church and they were gone. And they left kind of a little bit sticky wicked. I mean, it was a sticky wicked situation where they were a little angry, a little heated with the preacher. Now, you got to understand, I got saved as a result of my family down there. I got saved as a result of their kids and as a result of them. I came to Jesus Christ. So you'd think I'd feel some affinity, and I did. But here's what happened. Here's what I did. I called them. I listened to their points. And I called preacher, and I said this. I said, preacher, it doesn't matter if they're right. It doesn't matter if they're wrong. I'm with you. You say, why? Because he's the man of God. And if I didn't agree with him, I could just go. That's really how I felt. That's how I felt. Now, you can feel differently about all those things, but that's how I felt at the time. I knew this. It's always good to stand with the man of God. It's always good. God always honors that. He said, but he ain't perfect. Nobody is. And he'll never be perfect. Never. Neither will we. Simple? No. Could we do this? Could we do this as an invitation? Could we tell our preacher how much we appreciate him? Could we do something like that? I'm not out to embarrass him. You say, this may take some time. It may take some time. But you know what I'll do? Instead of doing it now, I'm just going to take an opportunity now where we can pray for him. So you know what? I didn't realize all those things. Some of you are saying, I didn't realize all the things that a man of God goes through. No, you didn't. No, nobody does unless you studied out. We hear it all the time in Bible college. All the time. But you never usually hear it preached because you're sounding your own trumpet. An evangelist is just about being on vacation, so he never preaches these things. What we're going to do is we're going to send your pastor to the back after everything's all done. I'm going to ask that he goes to the back afterwards. And all I want you to do is when you walk by him, tell him a reason why you appreciate him. Tell him a sermon maybe that he preached that changed your life. Maybe just say that. Hey, preacher, that situation, you know the one, preacher. Thank you. Thank you. I'm here still because of that situation. Maybe tell him how much you appreciate him. It doesn't matter. If you got to make it up, that's okay. I'll give you some ideas as you go back. I know you don't need to make it up, but afterwards he's going to head to the bank. Friends, in light of that, let's take some time. Could we do that? Could we pray for your pastor? It'd be a blessing, wouldn't it? We're going to have the pianist come, give us a little bit of mood music, I suppose, like that, and have the pianist come and give us an opportunity, really, to pray, a time where we're just contemplating. Say, what can I pray for? How about this? Pray that God encourages him. How about pray that God encourages him and uses him to encourage us? How about the Holy Spirit just fills him? You can think of many different things. God, give him wisdom as he studies. You can think of many different things that you go through in your Christian life. He does the same thing, goes through the same thing, but he can't just sit up here and show it all the time. He has to get up and smile and say, praise God, God's going to do something amazing. That's what the man of God does. Let's do this. Let's bow our head with our eyes closed and just simply pray as the piano plays. Could we do that? It's not really a time of invitation where you come unless you want to come. Maybe you say, I don't even want to wait. I'm just going to come up and talk to Pastor now. That's fine. He's here. You ain't going to embarrass him. He's already been embarrassed already. Say, I want to talk to him now. You come up and talk to him now then if you don't want to wait till he gets in the back. As the piano plays, you pray for your man of God.